findinastrologer.com. Illuminate your journey.
Welcome, everybody. We're here today with Nick Dagan Best for a little podcast about Venus retrograde. Welcome, Nick.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's really great to have you on the show. I know the last time we talked, you said you had some great Venus retrograde stories, so I've been looking forward to this podcast for, about a year now. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay,
so I thought we could talk about some of your favorite Venus retrograde stories in a bit, but I thought we'd just start by chatting about Venus retrograde in general. So I thought maybe we could give folks the stats on Venus retrograde this time, like the dates and the sign and all that.
Right. Well, good place to start. Venus goes retrograde in Capricorn quite soon from when we're taping this interview. It goes retrograde pretty much on the 21st of December at 28 degrees Capricorn. And it usually stays retrograde for about 40 days. So it'll be going direct. I think it's at the end of January, beginning of February, probably the beginning of February. And this is the first one that actually will be entirely in Capricorn. There's a peculiar pattern to how Venus retrogrades work. There are five Venus retrogrades in an overall eight-year cycle, and they occur in pretty much the same five spots in the zodiac with every successive eight-year transit. However, there is with every successive eight-year transit, they do occur about 2 days earlier and 2 to 3 zodiacal degrees earlier than the previous time. So 8 years ago, back around December 23rd, Venus went retrograde. I think it was at 1 degree Aquarius or at 0 Aquarius. And therefore, this time it's on December 21st and it's at 28 Capricorn. And if you jump ahead 8 years from now, in December of 2021, probably about December 19th, Venus will go retrograde more or less around 26 degrees of Capricorn and so on and so forth. So that's the way that the cycle works. And this is the first time this retrograde in Capricorn, it used to go from Aquarius to Capricorn. But with this is the first time we're actually getting a Venus retrograde station in Capricorn. And it's the first one in quite some time, well over 100 years, I think longer than that even. So it's pretty special.
Yeah, that is special. Well, speaking of Venus retrograde in Capricorn, do you have any kind of favorite Venus retrograde in Capricorn people that would give people a flavor for what we're looking at?
Well, I'd say my favorite is Chris Rock. he's definitely one of the great... Venus retrograde has a lot to do with upsetting people.
So we're talking about, just so people know, we're talking about Venus retrograde in the natal chart, correct?
Correct. Chris Rock was born with Venus retrograde in Capricorn. And like a lot of great comedians who upset people, George Carlin being another guy, he had Venus retrograde in Aries. Chris Rock is someone who, sort of challenges established thinking and uses his comedy to really sort of probe hot button topics, really in ways that probably no other comedian does in quite the same way. So I'd say right off the bat, he's one of my favorites. But there have been a number of interesting Venus retrograde and Capricorn people in history. Everyone from Ludwig van Beethoven to Mary Todd Lincoln, both born with Venus in the phase. They were born, if not during the actual retrograde, when Venus was either, I think in Beethoven's case, he was born just before it went retrograde in Capricorn, and Mary Todd Lincoln, something along those lines too. Or I think actually she had the natal Venus retrograde in Capricorn. But it's, they're interesting people who tend to clash with society on some level. They're misfits of some kind, and they're going to find their own way. If they belong in the world, it's because they find their own way to belong, and not because they're doing what people expect them to do.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So, I have a quote from Aaron Sullivan about Venus retrograde, and we've been talking about Venus retrograde, how it relates to a person's natal chart, but as a transit, we're obviously looking at how it's going to have an impact on global issues. And Aaron writes, "The station retrograde of Venus begins a time of global review, in which the reconsideration of what is diplomatic and what is necessary to maintain a balanced worldview and sense of integrity is on the table. So I was just thinking about how the government shutdown is going to come under review right in the middle of this next Venus retrograde. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's something else. And, of course, the last government shutdown was during a Mercury retrograde, and there'll be a Mercury retrograde coming up right around then as well. So it does sort of, it all stands to reason. That's what these retrograde cycles tend to do, is bring up old business. So, you know, one thing after the other. Indeed, I think we can expect quite a storm when the time comes. I don't think it's just something that's going to be solved easily. United States history is rife with Venus retrograde stories, the scandals. Let me tell you some highlights of American history in Venus retrograde. Watergate break-in, Venus retrograde. Cuban Missile Crisis, Venus retrograde. Bay of Pigs, Venus retrograde. Defeat of Germany in World War II, Venus retrograde. Abraham Lincoln was shot during a Venus retrograde, and so was James Garfield. First president to ever die in office, William Henry Harrison, died when Venus was retrograde. Franklin Roosevelt died when Venus was retrograde. So, two Venus retrograde in Capricorn cycles ago, the world first heard the name Monica Lewinsky.
Wow.
Yes,
okay.
Back in January of 1998. So it's
So I think we can sit back and enjoy the show on this one.
Yeah. Oh, another good one. During the last one, back in February 2006, Vice President Cheney shot a man in the face.
Oh wow.
And actually, most of the people on Bush's staff are natal Venus retrograde people. Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, even his wife Laura Bush. They're all Venus retrograde people. So. There's always been a lot going on, either, in the natal charts of people in the administration, or in terms of transits and when the big stories happen, the stuff that we remember for years afterwards. Because even people who aren't history buffs know what Watergate was, or, you know, Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, these really, really big events. So, put all that together, and indeed, I think we're in for certainly an interesting time in American politics, and because we're anticipating a government shutdown, it seems like the obvious place to look.
Right. But I'm sure maybe they'll have some surprises in store for us still. Something tells me those folks are scheming and plotting as we speak. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the best we can do is speculate, you know, relative to what we already know. And these are pretty, you know, pretty good places to look. But indeed, it could be something we've never even imagined. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, those are some pretty great Venus in retrograde stories. But do you have, one or two other of your favorite stories you'd like to share with us for today's podcast?
Well, the thing about saying favorite is Venus is. When Venus goes retrograde, you tend to see society getting very upset at stuff. So when I say I've got favorite stories, there, a lot of them are actually pretty nasty, and I don't. So I want to be clear that my reasons for liking them is for their astrological content, and that I'm not necessarily rejoicing at the awfulness of the events related to them. Heaven forbid. But I've got a few. I mean, certainly I mentioned Watergate, Venus being retrograde in Gemini at the time of the Watergate break-in. And what's interesting about that is both Richard Nixon and J. Edgar Hoover, their entire lives were really timed very in really big ways by that one Venus retrograde that goes from Cancer to Gemini. In Richard Nixon's life, first of all, he married his wife June 21st, 1940, while Venus was retrograde in Cancer on its way into Gemini. He first became well-known when he was a congressman, and in 1948 there was something called the Munt-Nixon Bill, which was, you know, one of these many Republican offenses against the burgeoning liberal America in the 40s, other things. certainly the Watergate break, and like I said, was when Venus had gone retrograde from Cancer to Gemini. And that relates to J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover died not long before the Watergate break, and people think that, had Hoover not died, the public might not have found out about the break-in, because that was the kind of thing that he excelled at and was good at keeping under his hat. And Hoover, not only did he die during that Venus in retrograde going from Cancer to Gemini, but he had a lot of other things going on there. First of all, the actual Bureau of Investigations, it wasn't actually called the FBI, but the Bureau of Investigations was founded in 1908, during the Venus retrograde period in Cancer. And then he was named the Bureau Director in May of 1924 as Venus was about to go retrograde in Cancer. The Bureau became really renowned with the time of the Lindbergh baby kidnapping in 1932, and the baby was found dead just as Venus was going to go retrograde in Cancer. And he also created the famous COINTELPRO spy program in 1956, just after Venus had been retrograde in Cancer. So there's a lot of stuff there relating to Hoover, right up to his death when Venus is in Gemini, about to go retrograde in Cancer. Even his longtime partner and the person many people speculate was his lover, Clyde Tolson, was born in May of 1900 with natal Venus about to go retrograde in Cancer. So there's all this stuff relating to Hoover and Richard Nixon that just make that one Watergate anecdote all the more interesting when you understand how this one little cycle played out in both their lives over the course of their entire lives. And it's especially striking when I'm just talking about that one Venus retrograde, one of the five that you get every 8 years. It's a 100-day period every 8 years. In 8 years, you get 2,922 days, and we're talking about 100 days out of that 2,922. In other words, you're talking about 1/29th of total time. So to be able to take J. Edgar Hoover's entire life or Richard Nixon's entire life and pull out all these different events that are clearly objectively huge moments in both their lives, I find is a really striking use of astrology, and not one that's used very much.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, we have time for another story. Do you have anything else up your sleeve?
Well, I mentioned another big one. I think is Roman Polanski.
That's a good one.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy because he doesn't, like Hoover and Nixon, he doesn't have natal Venus retrograde. He has a Libra rising. But whenever Venus has gone retrograde in Aries, which is where he has Uranus, and it's opposite, he's got Mars in Libra opposite Uranus. Whenever Venus goes retrograde in Aries and triggers his, makes a conjunction to his Uranus and opposition to his Mars and wanders over to his descendant, there's just a lot of big stuff that's happened in his life that relates to that. It begins, it's a bit of a story, so settle in here. It's kind of an epic. 1945, when the war ends, Venus is retrograde in Aries. Polanski's a child, and both his parents have been taken away to concentration camps. And with the war's end, during that Venus retrograde in Aries, he finally is reunited with his father and learns that his mother didn't survive the concentration camp. So right from the get-go in his childhood, that Venus retrograde in Aries, one of the first he ever experienced, is a huge sort of marker in his life. 8 years after that, in 1953, during the spring, when Venus is retrograde in Aries, he's now a young man, still a teenager, and he runs away from home so that he can act in a movie. And, of course, since he's a future film director, this is his entrance into the film business and clearly an important event. 8 years following that, in the spring of 1961, he's now a filmmaker in his own right in communist Poland, and he makes a movie called Two Men and a Wardrobe in the 50s that gets a review in Time magazine in the spring of 1961 when Venus is retrograde in Aries, and this is what gives him international renown and ends up getting him sort of invited. You know, he gets to leave Poland, something most of his friends and colleagues don't get to do, and begins his ascent as a professional filmmaker. 8 years after that, in 1969, well, in the summer of 69, of course, Polanski's wife, Sharon Tate, was famously murdered by the Manson family when she was 8 months pregnant. Now, that event itself did not occur during the Venus retrograde, but what did happen A few months earlier, on the 23rd of March 1969, Venus was retrograde in Aries once again, this time conjunct transiting Saturn and his natal Uranus. And on that day, Charles Manson went to the house at 10050 Cielo Drive in Los Angeles, where the murders would happen 4 months later. And he was looking for someone else, someone who had lived there, but he came face to face with Sharon Tate, and he was told to leave the home. And the reason this is important is when the murders eventually did happen in the summer of 1969, Manson, of course, wasn't there. The murder was carried out by his followers. And so the prosecutor, in order to put Manson in prison himself, to be found culpable for the murders, he had to prove that he had some sort of role in it. And because there was witness testimony that Manson had been to the house on the 23rd of March, 1969, it was this very fact that got Manson put in prison, and the reason he's in prison to this day. And you can almost think, I mean, now with hindsight being 2020, you can see how from that day, poor Sharon Tate's days were numbered, because it was just a matter of time before Manson's gang would show up at this house, which he picked out himself, and commit that grisly crime. Now, it gets
did that date have something specific to do with his decision or with their decision?
Well, it has to do with Manson knowing that the person he was looking for in that house doesn't live there anymore, and now some different people are living there. And when he wants to commit this, have this random killing done, the reason the murder was done in the first place was to serve as a decoy, because a friend of his was in jail, and they wanted to make it look like this friend in jail, who was in jail for a different murder, make it look like he was innocent, like the murder was being committed by a roving pack of Black Panthers or something like that. So that was sort of the whole convoluted idea behind Manson's demented plan. But it's the day that ropes in Polanski and Sharon Tate to the whole circle of the Manson murders. It's the day that like I said, that Sharon Tate's days are basically numbered, which is the interesting thing. Now, it becomes a little more interesting when you think 8 years later, the next time Venus goes retrograde in Aries, in March of 1977, this is when Roman Polanski rapes a teenage girl. He gets her drunk and drugs her and rapes her in a hot tub. It's not just statutory rape. She was 13, but what he did actually was, you know, rape by anyone's standards. Had she been 35, it still would have been rape. So we go from seeing Polanski in this series of very sympathetic events in his life to sort of the other side of the coin, where now he's a monster and doing something that's not only a monstrous act, but something that's going to affect his life, effectively force him into exile from the United States. To this day, he's still wanted by American prosecutors for having committed this. But it doesn't stop there. Of course, Polanski is also a filmmaker. In 1985, he was filming a movie called Pirates, and in his autobiography, during the spring of 1985, when he was making this movie, in his autobiography, he describes the making of this movie as being the worst time in his life. not the murder of his wife, not the sentencing of his parents to concentration camps, the regrettable decision to rape a teenage girl, but making this movie Pirates in the spring of 1985 is what he describes as the worst time in his life. 8 years following that, in the spring of 1993, Steven Spielberg wants to make a movie called Schindler's List, and he decides at first he wants Roman to direct the movie, because, of course, Roman had grown up in the Polish ghetto, in the Warsaw ghetto. Roman was a victim of the Holocaust because of losing his mother and so on and so forth. But Roman told Steven Spielberg that he couldn't make Schindler's List, that he was still too emotionally attached to the events and that it would be too upsetting for him. So he declined. And, of course, Spielberg himself went on to direct Schindler's List and win his Oscar for it. However, 8 years later, in the spring of 2001, during the Venus retrograde in Aries, Roman finally decided he was ready to make his Holocaust movie, and this is when he filmed The Pianist, which would ultimately win him an Oscar. And then the final Venus retrograde, back in 2009, it was funny. I'd been talking about Roman Polanski's Venus retrograde in Aries saga since about 2003. It was the first time I talked about it publicly, and I talked about it in a few astrology talks. Then in the spring of 2009, lo and behold, out of nowhere, Roman surfaced in the news again because there were people trying to get his sentence repealed based on some evidence that surfaced in a documentary that came out the year previous. And so for a little while, it looked like Roman had the chance to have his case repealed. The judge ultimately, during the Venus retrograde, decided he wouldn't repeal it. He said, Mr. Polanski can come stand trial and have this new evidence heard if he likes. Polanski didn't do that, so he's still wanted by the law. But here we go. It just keeps happening over and over again. For as long as the man's alive, consistently, this 100-day period of Venus retrograde in Aries, and when I say 100 days, I'm talking about the 40 days of the pre-retrograde shadow, the 30 days of the actual retrograde, and then 30 days of the pre-retrograde shadow, 40 days of the retrograde, and 30 days of the post-retrograde shadow. So it's a total of 100 days out of 2,922 days, 1/29th of total time. And this whole story I've told you, I've drawn from that single 100 days that occurs once every 8 years. It's really remarkable when you think about it, and objectively striking. You know, it's not simply subject to interpretation. There's really something there about the timing of a Venus retrograde and how it can sort of unfold in a person's life.
Have you found a pattern in looking at the shadow before and after, in that certain events tend to constellate more in one part of the cycle, or does that seem to be fairly random?
It seems fairly random. I think the reason is ultimately that what we're looking at with any planet going retrograde is that the planet is changing speed. Prior to the retrograde and the pre-retrograde shadow, the planet is gradually slowing down to a stop. And even a planet like Venus that is generally really fast moving, as it's slowing down to its retrograde station, it winds up moving, you know, at the same speed of a Saturn or a Uranus or even a Pluto. In other words, that weight of a slow-moving planet for a brief period, Venus is that's what Venus has, that kind of power. So what we're looking at, I think, whether it's in the pre-retrograde shadow when it's slowing down, or during the retrograde when it's speeding up but going obviously in a backward direction, or even in the post-retrograde shadow when it's gradually speeding up again, I think it's this change in speed that has a lot to do with why this little phase of the overall Venus cycle is so powerful for it.
Really interesting. Well, this is probably a good place to share with folks that one of the reasons we're doing the podcast today is to talk about a webinar coming up that we're going to have host through astrologyuniversity.com on January 4th at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time with Nick on, guess what, the Venus retrograde cycle.
That's right. That's right.
So, Nick, can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to share in the upcoming webinar?
I might not cover these specific stories because I have so many. I'm looking at Venus retrograde in a number of different ways. One thing I'm doing is I'm looking at Venus retrograde in synastry. One person's natal Venus retrograde conjunct another planet of someone else who's close to them, be they a family member or a romantic partner or a creative partner, what have you. I'm looking at people who have natal Venus retrograde and the transits of other planets triggering that Venus retrograde. I've also got people who who've had really big things happen to them when transiting Venus retrograde has made a conjunction to one of their own natal planets, even if they're not people with natal Venus retrograde, like, for instance, Roman Polanski or Richard Nixon or J. Edgar Hoover. So there's a whole variety. I'm looking at Venus retrograde as a synastry factor, as a transiting factor, or as a natal planet that receives transits, and sort of mixing it up that way. So it's a real grab bag, different ways of looking at it and understanding its power.
Great. And I imagine we'll definitely have some folks in the talk who are wondering, you know, how should I best make use of this time? So will you have something to say for them as well?
I certainly will. I think it does come down to the person's natal chart. There's no way to tell. I mean, even just in the story I told about Roman Polanski, we saw horrible things happen to him during a Venus retrograde. We also saw some triumphant things happen to him during a Venus retrograde. So it's definitely not one of these things that, you can immediately conclude is good or bad, even for a single individual. You know, even if someone like, Roman, who's had a series of bad things happen, can suddenly have some good things happen during the same Venus retrograde transit, it bears in mind that you always need to look at the overall astrological picture, and that the Venus retrograde itself alone is not going to determine whether a person's going to be happy with the sort of the outcome of the transit.
Sure.
But what I do think what is really clear is that you see it as a timing factor. If people listening can recall what was going on in their life back in late 2005, early 2006, or late 97, early 98, or late 1989, early 1990, or any of the eight-year periods preceding that, they're likely to see a theme of some kind pop up in their life. If they're someone for whom this transit is always a big deal, it should be pretty obvious, so long as they can remember, you know, where their life was at or where their minds were at those times. It should become pretty obvious to them. And then from there, I guess it's just a matter of with as much objectivity as possible to look at what's unfolding in one's life during this time and piecing it together with what's passed before during previous retrogrades in the same cycle.
And of course, we'd be looking at lots of different factors if we're looking at the chart to determine whether this cycle might be a big deal for someone. But a quick place to start might be folks who have planets in the middle to late degrees of Capricorn, Cancer, Aries, or Libra. So if you know your chart well enough to know that you've got planets, say, between 15 and 29 degrees in one of those signs, this particular cycle might be of interest to you. But what Nick's going to share with folks will definitely, you know, apply to Venus retrogrades to come as well. So, and the webinar is really just a preview for something even bigger. Nick, do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm putting together a 5-part video workshop or sort of PowerPoint type video workshop on Venus retrograde cycles. It's a broader work. It's a number of the same things that I'll be bringing to the webinar, just in greater detail, a greater volume, and greater amazing storytelling wonderment.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, I'm personally looking forward to it. So this seems like a great way to be spending our Venus retrograde cycle, is to just really get immersed in it. So if any of this interests you, please join us on January 4th at 9:30 a.m. We, of course, encourage you to pre-register for the webinar, and you can do that at astrologyuniversity.com. So thanks for being with us today, Nick. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Thanks so much for having me, and I'm really looking forward to the webinar.
Find an astrologer.com, the best astrologer database online. Search astrologers' bios, events in your area, featured articles, book reviews, blogs, MP3 downloads, video downloads, resources, and interviews. Find an astrologer.com. Illuminate your journey.